Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to the Alachua County Extension Cord Podcast, where we plug in and bring UF IFAS Extension to life. Well, welcome to the February edition of the Plant of the Month. As always, I am joined by Dr. Cynthia Nazario-Leary, our environmental horticulture agent, and Martha Maddox, our family and consumer sciences agent. And this February, one of my favorite plants out there, the passion fruit or passion flower plant.
Well, I'm glad you said both because they are different.
Oh.
So they're in the same genus, so they share that same passiflora, which I love that name for the genus. It really means passion flower. But they're actually two separate species. So
that's good to know.
You know, one's going to produce the fruit and one isn't. So you want to make sure. But there's benefits to both. So your passion fruit, that's the species that's going to produce either your red, purplish, or yellowish passion fruit. You know, the fruit that, you know, maybe most people are familiar with. You kind of, it has a hard casing, kind of the size of a guava. And anyway, you're gonna scoop it out. But then the passion flower is just really, it's more of an ornamental. It's really going to be your flower. The fruit that's produced from that really isn't going to be anything that
super edible.
Super edible.
That's the one
it's pretty though.
It is one of the most beautiful flowers out there. And even the passion fruit, the one that produces the good edible fruit, that flower and the other flower are the same, right?
They look very similar. Yeah. They're usually like a purplish, a purple and white flower. And it's for a botanist, for someone who loves to botanize, those flowers are just beautiful because they really show the anthers and the pollen and, you know, the pistil. You know, you can really see how this plant is pollinated and what it's doing to attract its pollinators. Yeah. So
for a photographer, I love to take pictures of those because you can zoom in, you don't even sometimes have to zoom in, but you can get phenomenal, just unbelievable photographs with those.
Right. Yeah. And the pollinators that are visiting them, too. So you can have like a very nice photograph.
So the passion flower, I think, may also be called Maypop. It's actually kind of a bit of a weed here in Florida with our agronomic producers. It's a vine, so it climbs around.
It's native.
I hear a lot about that when I want to, you know, my husband, Kevin, and when I'm wanting to put it in the yard, it's like, no, don't look good for us to have that in the yard.
Yeah, it likes to escape cultivation, and it's a vine, so it can bind up machinery, and it kind of creates a bit of a problem for growers.
But. So it does, and certainly with any vines. I mean, I think when you're talking about vines in general, too, people have to remember that these are things that do want to climb, and they want to kind of, they're going to keep growing into certain areas and climbing over things. So with any type of vine, you always want to make sure that you're putting it in the right place, that one, it can grow into that, that you have the support for it, because if you don't provide the support, it's going to go find support, whether that's the side of your house, whether that's another tree or shrub nearby. So if you're planting any type of vine, you really want to make sure that you've created the space for it. And then what's nice about passion flower and passion fruit is they can be pruned. So, you know, don't be afraid to prune these things back as needed, because they can get aggressive and they can take over very easily within a growing season.
Sure.
Can you prune them too close, Cynthia, or is there a certain time that I should prune them?
Well, so the passion flower is a native, and so it's more adapted to those cooler freezes that we get. And so that one I'm not too worried about, especially we had that hard freeze back in December. You can cut those back and it'll probably resprout no problem. If you want to do that, you know, towards the end of the fall into the winter months. The passion fruit, we're going to see. I have some master gardeners that are growing passion fruit, and they said it got hit pretty hard by this freeze. We'll see if they're able, if they had enough of a root, kind of a strong root base that they can regenerate from in the spring when it gets warmer.
Okay,
but passion fruit is a subtropical to tropical plant, so it just may have not been able to survive those 5 days of hard freeze. And we've got another set of freezing temperatures coming around. So You know, it may be that, you know, you may need to replant your passion fruit. That may not, you know, you may have to treat that as an annual versus a perennial, depending on how cold it gets in the wintertime.
So taking a step back, are these planted by seed, or do we use transplants, or how do we put?
So the passion fruit, as also the passion flower, they can be planted by seed. Or they can be propagated. You can propagate them via vegetative cuttings as well. So that's a popular thing to do, especially if you have one that you really like. It's that fruit that you really like, and you want to share that with others, or you want more plants of that, then you can easily take cuttings. And I always encourage people, if they're new to propagation, take the tips. Take the tips of the growing vine and use that to, you know, to propagate. But you can also do it by seed. Just know that if there's other passion flower, passion fruits in the area, that seed is going to have genes from multiple plants. So it may not be exactly the same as the vine that you have. But in general, I mean, if, you know, you're not going to get that much, I don't think you're going to get that much variety between the species.
So if someone did want to vegetatively propagate their own passion flower, does it root readily just in a jar of water, or do you need to use rooting hormone and a mist bench and perlite and all that? Or?
They're pretty easy to propagate. You could probably start them in water. I'm always wary of propagating things straight up in water, though, because the roots that are produced in a water medium are a lot weaker than those that are produced in a potting medium.
Sure.
So if you know you're going to transplant it out into the garden or even into a container, I always say try and propagate it in whatever you're going to plant it into. Some of the more like indoor plants, if you want to propagate those in water and you know you're going to kind of keep them in those water vessels for a long time, then go ahead and do that. But I think for the passion fruit, you're not going to be able to keep it in that water solution for a long time, and certainly not to produce a fruit crop.
Sure.
That would be some serious hydroponic action going on if you wanted to do that.
That'd be cool, though.
It would be cool.
So then once they're ready to stick these in the ground or plant seed, is there a kind of a shade or sun preference? I know I've seen at least passion flower, rather, grow in all sorts of full sun. I've seen it in the shade and everything, but what about passion fruit?
Passion fruit prefers the full sun, especially if you're going to get it established. You definitely want it to have that good 7 to 8 hours of sunlight. But that said, I mean, in most areas I've seen it where at some point during the day it might have some shade or some partial shade. They tend to grow in the understories, but they're going to seek out those gaps in the forest, right? That's typically where the vines are going to take off. And what's going to happen is they're seeking that light. So as a vine, they're going to grow in that direction, and then they're going to cover whatever is in that full sun area. That's how they have their competitive advantage over other plants.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, they'll find the environment they want.
Right. May start them over here, in one area, but if there's full sun about 6 feet over, that vine is certainly going to make it over there.
Yeah. And then do they require a lot of food or just kind of regular fertilizer you would do with?
So the passion fruit is a shallow rooter. So it's not, it's going to be more of a shallow rooting. It tends to not like its feet wet either. So we're looking at good well-drained soil, which with a lot of our sandy soils, that's not an issue. It can tolerate, it tends to prefer it slightly acidic, but it can take the maybe like, neutral to getting up higher in those. Maybe to a 7, I don't know above a 7 how well it's going to do in terms of pH. But fertilizer, I mean, probably when you're getting it established.
Sure.
But it's one of those plants, too, that if you give it too much nitrogen, especially during the active growing part, what you're going to get is a lot of vegetative growth.
Right. And
what you want it to do is kind of, get in sync to start putting out those flowers and then to develop that fruit. I would monitor if you see any of the leaves that are showing maybe any yellowing or veining, then you might have a nutrient deficiency. But usually this plant is pretty good at kind of getting its nutrients, and it doesn't have like a lot of high nutrient requirements. But again, you would want to monitor it to make sure that it's got healthy green leaves.
Sure. Is it susceptible to anything?
It can get some. Usual? It can get some pests, and I know that sometimes fungal issues are a problem if there's not enough, air movement moving through the vine. Let's say the vine's kind of like overcrowded itself, or it's in an area where there's not a lot of air movement. You can get some fungal issues.
And I'm guessing because it's a vine, aphids just love that really quick, fleshy growing.
Yeah, and ants will farm it too. Yeah. So, there's that issue. But in terms of like, this thing can be quite productive, especially if it's in the right place. If it's sunny and it's warm, this thing is going to produce. So usually it's not going to be to the detriment of the plant, right? Mm-hmm. It's still probably going to produce something. So there's going to be that threshold of
it can tolerate some.
Is this worth it that pressure? I need to try and control it? Certainly when they're young, that's when you really need to focus on their care, because if they get attacked by aphids and that whole young vine is covered in aphids, mm-hmm. it's probably not going to make it. So that's where you want to focus the efforts, is when it's a young plant. But once it's established, it can probably take some of having those sucking insects on it and still be okay.
It might be worth it when it's a little bit younger to put some protective crop oils on there or something to kind of discourage those insects from hunkering down and feeding.
Yeah, and I'm not sure too. I would have to look into it a little deeper to see if deer too like those tender tips.
Yeah.
So, for those folks who have the passiflora, who have the passion fruit planted and they're not sure, just keep monitoring it in the spring to see if it resprouts from the main root. When you prune, because this flower's on the newer growth, you can prune it back to also encourage growth. So it's okay to prune this one back. There's some vines that fruit and flower on old growth, mm-hmm. and you just want to be concerned about how much you prune when you do that. But because this is new growth, you can prune these things back.
Sure, and it'll probably result in more flowers.
Yes.
Great. All right, so give it structure, give it space, give it sun, a little bit of food in the beginning, maybe some protection against your aphids or your piercing, sucking type insects. Other than that, anything else for the good of growing
passion Encourage fruit? Those pollinators. So the passion fruit flower, it's amazing. But if you look at it closely, there's a space between where the anthers with all the pollen are and the receptors, for the pistil part. So it's spaced really nicely for a bumblebee. Regular honeybees actually have a hard time pollinating these flowers because there's that large space. Uh-huh. So like bumblebees or carpenter bees, they're the perfect size to kind of get in there, and they get all of it. So you want to make sure that you're pollinating these. If you find that you're not getting a good fruit set, that might be the reason why. But usually we have plenty of bumblebees and stuff, so it's usually not an issue. And then the passion flower is, it is the home of our, I always need to check the name of this, the Gulf Fritillary. Fritillary? It's a butterfly. Oh. It's our native butterfly. And it lays its eggs and its larva feed on the passion flower vine. So just know, if you want to add that butterfly to your butterfly garden, or you want to add that to your garden, those caterpillars will feed on this plant. So you'll see some herbivory damage, some, chewing damage on your plant. But just know that you're supporting those native butterflies.
Great. Great, great. And they will help give you passion fruit.
Well, they're encouraged, when you create that ecosystem of sure. pollinators and butterflies, you're creating a place where they have refuge, where they can lay their eggs. And, if you want to encourage more butterflies, you can also, put out other things. And I encourage you to contact our local extension office if you're wanting to really support that pollinator and butterfly insect Absolutely. Population in your garden.
Super. Great. Well, Martha, so let's talk now about eating these guys. What do we get from eating passion fruit?
Well, passion fruit is really one of the healthiest fruits probably that you can eat, because it contains your vitamin A and your C, and you get lots of fiber and potassium from it. And the potassium, they found, is important for heart health and can help you maintain healthy blood pressure. So I think, Kevin, I'm going to start eating a lot of passion fruit. And also, a study that was published